Wouldn't you? Glory to God. Okay, here's the prophecy. Here's the first one. I got two of them, but here's the first one. And you were just talking about this, Robert. You were just talking about this. I said, look at him. He must be. The Lord must have talked to him on the way over here. You are in revival. You, individually, are in revival. For as he is, so are you in this world. So begin to see yourself, my children, walking in revival, says the Lord. For even as I am one with the Father, so am I one with you. Revival is just not meant to be a nice confession or a vision for the future of something that may or may not happen one day by chance if God's willing to hear us and decide to pour out heaven on us. No, no, no. Revival is on purpose. It is not just a promise that you stand on for the future. Hear this. It is how you are to live as my individuals now. We all should be in revival. We all should be believing in the power of the Holy Ghost. Believing in the power of God will come out of us anytime we want to, just because we can, to demonstrate his power and to release his love. Let me go on. For revival is about personally living my gospel and the gospel of the kingdom, which I placed inside each of you, each and every one of you, on the day you became a new creation in me. That is the world that you are, that is the world that you are to live in now. My kingdom come, my will be done in you on earth as it is in the kingdom of heaven within you. Wow. Amen. This is not a self-seeking gospel. This is not a sovereign gospel. This is the gospel of both power and love, and is meant to be lived on purpose. This is how I have called you to live every day, everywhere you go, in every situation. There is no time when you are allowed to wear a basket on your head and pretend that you don't know me. Oh, come on, church. I'm glad he's saying this, not me, because you'd be booing me right now, but this is God saying this. Those days are over, says the Lord. Take heed according to my word, for just as Jesus walked in revival and lived the full manifestation of the kingdom of heaven at all times, he did not sit around waiting for heaven to rain upon him. He knew who he was. He knew who and what was on the inside of him, and he had a mission, and he kept a single eye with fierce focus on receiving, believing, being, obeying, and manifesting the love of God at all times. And when he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, loving every single person around him, and loving not his own life unto death, while destroying hell for a living. Yeah. Destroying hell for a living. I thought that was cute. Likewise, you also ought to live in the same manner, knowing that it is not you, but Christ in you, your hope of glory. You must stop waiting for what I have already given you, says the Lord. For my blood speaks a better word than your feelings. Yeah. And as long as you are continuously in the process of conforming to my image inside of you, and as long as you are living with clean hands and a pure heart, then you are qualified. You're qualified. Yes, you must grow up into me, but that has nothing to do with sowing seeds everywhere you go and loving the people around you. Phew. For even though you don't feel like you're walking in 100 full protection and power yet, it does not disqualify you from stepping out and manifesting me in some way. For did I not say these signs shall follow them that believe? And did I not say go out and preach the gospel, the good news that you have received? For it is my goodness that leads men to repentance. Therefore let them see your good works, that they may glorify your Father in heaven. Even as some sow and some water, God brings the increase. Ladies and gentlemen, That's revival. Quit looking at yourself like, well, I don't know if I can do much. You're qualified. You're qualified. Now, this next one, I'm going to step on some toes. So if you don't need to step on your toes, you better get them pulled back out the way. Well, actually, not me stepping on your toes. It's him. It's called true worship, a higher accountability. On the way to church, as I started out the car, I stared out the car window. This is probably either Dave or Gary or Alan or someone like that that gave this prophecy. On the way to church, as I stared out the car window, the song "Show Me Your Ways" came to mind. That song has been coming up a lot in my spirit over the last few weeks. So I thought I should find the song and put it on. As the song played, I closed my eyes, and I had such a sense of peace watch over me. I was praying under my breath in tongues for a few minutes, and then a scene started to unfold right in front of my eyes. Now, you want to hear this. I was in a forest, and just a few feet in front of me stood a doe, a young deer, for all of you non-hunters. A female deer with a small puddle of water at its feet. The deer was not healthy. It had hazy eyes and a dull, patchy coat. It was thin, and its hooves were cracked. It was very obvious that it was lacking in nutrition. It must have been very thirsty and hungry. You would have thought that it would have lapped up the smaller puddle at its feet, but instead it would lean down, take a few licks of the water, then look away like that action in itself was just too hard. After an adequate time and full measure of the animal, my attention turned to something just up ahead. About 100 yards ahead stood another doe. In that second, I was standing beside that doe. This one was quite different. She was beautiful. Her coat was gleaming in the sunlight. Her eyes were clear and focused. Her black hooves were shining. It was very clear that this animal was getting everything it needed, and from the time that I first saw her to the time that the vision was over, she never stopped doing one thing, and that was drinking from this very beautiful, crystal clear lake. She wasn't just taking sips of water or lapping it with her tongue. She had her mouth wide open, and she was sucking in water, drinking as fast as she could, but her thirst could not be quenched. About the time I thought, man, she has to be filled to capacity, my position in view changed, and I was suddenly over the lake looking down on it. The lake had words on it, and the words were this: true worship. And it was transparent. You could see right through it. And underneath the words true worship were many other words, words like peace, joy, prosperity, and good things God wants us to add to us, God wants to add to us personally. That was making sense because I know through our worship, we can open up doors and create the atmosphere for those things to those things to us from our Father. But then different words started to come to the surface from the deep. Words like fasting, revelation knowledge, miracles, revival, outpouring. Now everything just seemed jumbled. Then the Holy Spirit spoke, and he spoke very clearly. And he said this: the first deer you encountered was you. It was when you were driving somewhere and you think of me and you say, Father, give me the want to spend more time with you. Give me the want to spend more time with you. Okay, I guess that went over your head. All right, okay. Father, give me the want to spend more time with you. Give me the time so I can spend it with you. It's when you say, I have no time. I have no time. You're sipping out of the tiny puddle. And you're not even thirsty. And where you are, I cannot even give you the ability to become thirsty. That may work for others who are not so accountable, but at this stage, as you know, you are held to a much higher accountability. The other, dear, is also you. It's you at stages in your life when you've gotten to places where you get into true worship with me and you spend time with me where the joy, the peace, the prosperity flow, but there is still so much more. Underneath that, there are desires to go into fasting. There are desires to spend unlimited amounts of time in my presence. There are desires that I want to give you, and they all start with time spent in true worship. But there is still more than this. There is an outpouring coming. There is something I need you to get ready for. There is something I need all of you to get ready for. All of you to get ready for. I need the church hands to be able to do my miracles. At this point, I look back at the deer that was drinking out of a small puddle. But now, there were maybe 25 to 30 deer around that puddle, drinking out of the small puddles, and they were not even thirsty. The Holy Spirit said this to me. This is my church. When they say to me, I have no time. I have no time. I have no time. Don't shout me down now when I'm preaching real good. True worship will create a desire so strong to want to be in my presence that their whole day will be scheduled around getting to spend more and more time with me. Not because they feel obligated, but because they will be so thirsty, they cannot get enough. And it will be like that deer that doesn't want to even look up or take a breath because it's so good. And at that point, when the thirst is unquenchable, then watch and see the miracles that are about to come.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, come on, somebody.
Amen.
Therefore, continue to put away childish things and continue conforming to my word and growing up into me, being a doer of the word, knowing it's not by works lest any man should boast, but in giving thanks to me continuously for the grace that has come and empowered you to live above sin and for the spirit of power and love and soundness of mind that I have placed inside of you. For truly I have made all things new. And I desire for you to know me and to walk in newness of life. For to know me is to be filled with all of my fullness, says the Lord. For I desire to give you a completely new life, one that is no longer recognized and accepted life that you were created for, as you will arise and shine and walk and talk with me and know me now, that the world around you may know who I am through you and be restored back to fellowship with me and live what they were originally created for as they see your life. There are people that only you can meet, that you can only reach for God. And when they see you full of this glory, full of this power, they'll go, there's nothing else I want but that.
Yeah.
Therefore, fear not these changes, says the Lord. Receive with meekness the engrafted word which can save your souls. For as you begin to step out in faith past yourself and your discomfort and start living how I created you to do, I will come and do the rest. For faithful am I who called you, who will also do it.
Yeah.
So continue to walk humbly before me and be a holy fear and reverence for righteousness and my word. So continue to walk humbly before me with the holy fear and reverence for righteousness and my word, and begin to take the personal responsibility of ushering in revival as you are the only one left. For although it is a heavy responsibility, consider it an honor to endure such things. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, says the Lord, for it is no longer okay to look at the left or the right and allow yourself to live in mediocrity and complacency as you gauge how good you are doing in comparison to others that are in disobedience, remaining sedentary, getting fatter and fatter on messages when I've called you to run a race, to fight a good fight, and to exercise your faith and to come up higher.
Amen.
Well, this is a mouthful, ain't it? Woo! For there is a world around you in desperate need of me. And me and you is their only hope. For all of creation is groaning, waiting for the sons of daughters to be made manifest in the earth. Therefore, taste and see that I am good. Taste and see what I have prepared for you. For eye has not seen, ear has not heard the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. So begin to see the end from the beginning, that I may close the gap, says the Lord. For as you begin to taste and see what you were created for and begin to become one with it, choosing to live there now, living every moment selflessly by faith, as you go forth in love, scattering seeds everywhere you go, seeing yourself as my living, breathing revival on the earth, as you take my gospel as personal, you will begin to watch in amazement as I watch in amazement as I show up and I am made manifest in you. Now, this may happen this Saturday in the prison. That's what I'm expecting. For my love is an all-consuming fire, and my love never fails. For the more you allow my all-consuming love to burn in you, the more I will be made manifest in you in every situation. Now, all of this is, I'm not done yet. All of this is around worship. This is where worship will take you. I said, this is where worship will take you. All you have to do is just to spend time with him, telling him how much you love him, how much you love him, how much you adore him, and you worship him out of your spirit. Whew. For the more you allow my all-consuming love to burn in you, the more I will be made manifest in you in every situation. First burning up everything in you that is not of me, then spreading like wildfire, igniting those around you and everything in its path until there is nothing left but a trail of my glory. This is how revival starts, says the Spirit of grace. So quench not my spirit and hold back my love no longer as you personally heed my call to seek me first. Go take up your cross, follow me, that you might be conformed into my image as you live to bring me glory and make my glory known everywhere you go, that revival in the kingdom, Christ in you, the hope of glory may be made manifest in the earth once again. Man, when I read that, I went, it's time to go back into prayer. It's time to get in that worship closet again. It's time to get in there again, man. It's time to go in there fourfold. It's time to quit making excuses. It's time to go, God, I'm hungry and I thirst for you. But you're not going to get that. You're not going to get that by running around just because you got a big Bible or a nice screensaver and a Christian ringtone. That hunger is not going to come. You have got to spend time with him. And I can promise you, every Christian that I know today, if they were to read this prophecy, they would go, Pastor, that's what I've been searching for. Yeah. If you have been searching for it, then you belong to the church of the wet wood.
Where is that? Is that a recent?
No, I don't know.
The prophecy.
I can send it to you. Did you get the newsletter this month? That was the newsletter. I think it was a newsletter. Yeah. I'm surprised you didn't read that. Come on now.
I didn't read the deer part.
Say again?
I didn't read the deer part.
Yeah.
That's in there.
It's in there. See, the thing is that as you spend more time with the Father, he brings that hunger and thirst to you. And all of a sudden, you just want more and more. And listen, folks, you know, in Fort Worth this week, one of the main, who's been watching the Believers Convention? Man, I've been taking as much as I can find, as I can get. But one of the, what was amazing to me was all four of those ministers, see, it was Brother Copeland, who was second? Keith Moore, Jesse Duplantis, No, Yeah, Jerry was. They all spoke on faith. And Jesse said these words: we don't get together and discuss what we're going to preach. We just come to preach. Now, faith is a very important topic. But let me say this to you. If the Spirit of God would give me that permission to do that, I think he will. You cannot elevate your faith more any other way than praying in tongues and private worship. What makes faith work is your trust in God. You've got to know God is real, and he is. The Bible says he is who he says that he is. He is the sum total of everything that exists. He's part of this shirt. He's part of those glasses. He is in everything. He had something to do with all of that. You got to know that he is, and he is reward of those that diligently seek him. And ladies and gentlemen, when you begin to spend time in worship with him, he begins to transfer something into you. I can't explain it. All I know, it just happens. All of a sudden, your love is different. All of a sudden, the revelation is different. All of a sudden, you have faith for things that you never thought you...
Thank you, Lord.
Faith's gone to a new level. Now, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Isn't that right? Well, it doesn't necessarily mean that it comes from the Bible that you carry around. Well, do you think God, the Holy Ghost, is God? Do you think he is as much God as God the Father is, or God the Son is? You better know he is. And when you get to worshiping him, he'll begin to tell you what to say to the Father. He'll take over your private worship. He'll say, tell him that you love him. And your old flesh will go, hey, no, Zan. Now, listen, I don't mentor these wars. You haven't gone there yet. You're about to get there if you ever start doing private worship. He'll tell you, tell him that you love him with all of your heart. And my flesh went, he knows that too. It's not that he doesn't know it. He wants to hear it from you. How many of you have children? How many of you love it when your kids, when they don't want nothing, they just come to you and say, I love you. And they don't want anything. Do you like that? Or do we like it when they say, I love you. Can I have 50 bucks? You know what I'm saying? But you love it when they tell you how much they love you, because they love you. Your Father is no different. He just wants you to know that he wants to hear you that you love him. Then when you know what you hear from him, he'll begin to tell you, and I love you. I love you. I've always loved you. All of a sudden now, when you make mistakes, I mean bad mistakes. I mean bad mistakes. You won't have to worry about how mad he is at you, because you know he loves you too much. Well, Pastor, now you're preaching. You're giving people the free will to sin. No, I'm giving the free will to live, to serve God. He's a good God. He's not worried about your mistakes. The blood of Jesus covers all that. Now, I heard this testimony by Brother Copeland. And I've heard so many messages in the last, gosh, since I ain't taught, I've heard multiple. I am just saturated in messages. But here's a testimony from Brother Copeland, and I mean, it shook me. I mean, I'm going, whew, okay, I hear you. Brother Copeland said that he was in his room studying one day. I think he was in the hotel room. Now, y'all, correct me if he told this week, but I'm thinking it was last year. I think. And all of a sudden, he saw this pipe suspended in the air. And it was a long pipe. And it was about this big around in circumference. And behind this pipe, there was this water that was just rushing through this pipe. And Brother Copeland was like, what in the world? At the end of this pipe, facing him, this pipe was just spewing out this little mist. Speak, speak, speak. Copeland went, now if all that water is behind this pipe, why is this water just flowing out intermittently like this? And the Spirit of God spoke up and said, that's your spirit. That's your spirit. He says, every time you get hung up in some little small argument or disagreement, every time you think I'm not going to come through for you, every time you think I've forgotten about you, you allow the enemy to clog up your pipe. How many of you heard the statement, the little foxes spoil the vines? You want to know why the power of God is not flowing out of the church? It's because we're in too much little stuff. Man, God jerked the slack out of me, man. I'm going, you're telling me the little stuff like that? Like somebody cuts you off and you go, ah! He said, yeah. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Forgive me. Here's Brother Copeland also said, I found it amazing. He said that you are already forgiven. But until you ask for forgiveness, you give the devil opportunity to use that against you. So now when I miscue like that, oh, I'm quick. Forgive me. I ask you to forgive me. Why? Because I want that power flowing out of me. I'm in revival. We don't have time for a little mist here and there. We don't have time for a little sprinkle here and there. We're in revival. Yes. I want to see the power of God begin. I want my faith to work every single time. Not just sometimes. Not just every now and then. I want it to work every single time. Glory to God. See, private worship sets you up to where when you begin to hear those kinds of messages, boy, you can just assimilate them and breathe them in, and all of a sudden they become things that you can work with. They become doable. Because why? You've gotten to know your Father. The body of Christ just does not know God very well. That's our biggest problem. We don't know God very well. And Jesus knew him intimately. Jesus never stopped and said, I got some holes in my sandals. I wonder if God will get me a new pair. I guarantee you he didn't go to his camp or to his house and I went, Father, do you think it'll break the budget if I got a new pair of sandals? These got holes in them. He never thought that way. He never thought that way. You know why he never thought that way? He's no different than you, except that he was born with a spirit that was just like the one you have now. He had that spirit. Well, you have that same spirit now. But he knew who his Father was, and he knew that his Father loved him. He knew he loved him. So there was no failure in Jesus. I believe that's why the Apostle Paul made some of the mistakes he made, because he realized there's no failure in the man. Now, the thing is, we got to get past that to where we think take our mistakes lightly. And I don't think the Apostle Paul took them lightly. I'm not banging or bashing the Apostle Paul tonight. What I'm saying is, though, we got to start living to the point to where we know God loves us. God's expecting us. God's counting on us. God's got things he wants us to do. But here's the point I want to get across tonight. Child of God, you can't start at a better place than private worship. Now, private worship is a fellowship gift. Praying in tongues is a revelation gift. Now, here's why you should pray in tongues. So that when your little natural mind, see, a lot of you have a lot higher IQ than I do. A lot of you are a lot smarter than I am. I'm around a lot of smart people, and where I work, they know they're smart. Oh, they walk, they know, they just know that when they walk by you, they're like, now you know I'm smarter than you, right? That's kind of what they assume. You know I'm smarter than you, right? That's how they walk around. But it's your intelligence, it's your smartness that's going to choke the power of God. Come on, somebody. I'm not down on you, but it's your smartness, because you're so smart, Your reasoning will say, well, God wants to save everybody. Carlton Pearson. Carlton was a highly intelligent man. How many know who Carlton Pearson is? So I'm not talking in the air. A very intelligent man. Well, he came to the conclusion that everybody's going to heaven, the devil's going to be forgiven, and we don't need to have revival. We're all going to heaven anyway. See, that's what your reasoning will do. Well, if you pray in tongues, the moment you start having a thought like that, there'll be something right in here to go, not so, not so, not so, not so, not so. That's why you should pray in tongues. He is the revelator. He is the teacher. He'll correct everything that the world's trying to put in you from your natural mind. Now, the thing is that you have a mind of the Spirit inside of you. You should learn to draw from the mind of Christ in you. But every now and then, because you're highly intelligent, you're smarter than me, you'll come up with something. You'll say, you see here, Pastor, this is why I should be running this thing. No, wrong. Wrong. See, your intelligence is the reason why God gave you praying in tongues. He's not insulting your intelligence. He's saying your intelligence will be used by the world and it'll take you off in a ditch somewhere. The Bible says you have no need that any man teach you in 1 John. And the reason he said that was there was many people being deceived. In the book of Jude, when you start reading the book of Jude, it's talking about people that got deceived. How are they deceived? By smart, intelligent people. That's why you want to pray in tongues. When I began to teach this message, all I heard from my co-workers were, all he talks about is praying in tongues. That's all he knows, praying in tongues. All he ever talks about praying in tongues. You didn't hear the second chapter. You left too soon. You dropped out of school. Because the second chapter was all about private worship. And then private worship is a revelation. Private worship is a fellowship gift. It's when the Father begins to pour his wisdom in you. And all of a sudden you can discern his wisdom from the wisdom of the world. The moment the wisdom of the world tries to tell you a better way to walk, he goes, ah! That's what got the devil in trouble. See? And he doesn't want you going that route. He wants you to hear him. I had a friend of mine the other day. He says, there's my voice, there's God's voice, and the devil's voice. I said, wrong. It's God's voice and the devil's voice. You ain't a sovereign being. You ain't had a natural thought in your mind. You've never had a natural thought. Your thoughts come from some place or from some being. But it's your intelligence that tells you, oh, no, I'm smart. And one day you'll go and you'll think, I'm smarter than God. That's what the devil said. That's really what his beef. He thought he was smarter than God. Now, here's the thing. The reason you don't want to jump into private worship without spending time in praying in tongues is because when those visions, when that wisdom begins to flow, you've got to be able to discern which is God and which is you. I've had a lot of good messages that I thought were fantastic. And when I began to worship God, I went, that was trash. Oh, that was trash. I ain't teaching that. But they sounded so good when they were in my mind. They sounded so good. But then he returned me back and said, now listen, learn to listen to the mind of Christ inside of you. That's why we gave you that mind. See, get this. Knowledge is the fuel that wisdom burns. Now what that, I said, what does that mean? Is what that means. When I read the word of God, I get knowledge, but it takes wisdom to act it out. All week long, talking about faith, Brother Copeland made it very clear. Faith is of the heart, not of the mind, not of the brain. It's of the heart. It's of the spirit. Private worship is the same thing. You may think you're worshiping from your mind, but you're worshiping him out of your spirit. Do you know why? Because after you start worshiping him in your mind will want to wander off and start thinking about other stuff. Yeah. Now you don't go on just allowing your mind just to wander. But if you keep your focus on him, you will have a fellowship going on. And I'm telling you, when you come out of that worship time, you're like, when can we do that again? Because I'm telling you. Now, you want to know what faith is? You want to know faith is? Let me give you some very secret ingredients of faith. This is the first one, as far as I'm concerned. It's the most essential part of faith. If you can't resist the devil and spend time praying in tongues or spend time in private worship, you failed the first faith test. That went over your head, I can tell. Every time you get talked out of spending time praying in the spirit, or you get talked out of spending time in worship, you fail the very basic faith test. If you can't use faith and get past your flesh, how are you going to get past the devil and demon that's out there to kill, steal, and destroy? Amen. Huh? Amen. It's the very first one. And I know many people, that's what the prophecy was about. I don't have time to worship God. I don't have time to pray. I wish I could. My schedule is just so, man, where I live, I just can't pray in tongues because they all think I'm crazy. And on and on and on and on and on. You're failing the test. Listen, if I had to, I'd go in the bathroom, lock the door, and be in there doing my business for until I got done praying in tongues. You've got to be hungry about this thing. You've got to quit allowing your flesh to push you around. That's what the devil is using to manipulate you. It's as simple as that, ladies and gentlemen. You start praying in tongues. The Bible says, Jude verse 20, you build yourself up on your what? Your most holy faith. It's the first step of walking in the God kind of faith. You want to walk in mountain moving faith? Start worshiping God. And quit saying, I don't have time. And quit saying, I'm too busy. And quit saying, I don't know how. And quit saying, maybe I'm doing it wrong. You know why I said all that? I said all that when I first started. Maybe I won't get it right. Man, I got so bold in private worship. I went to Tulsa, Oklahoma. I sat down and I worshiped God before every service. And I didn't care who heard me. You know why? Because I wanted them to critique me. I wanted them to hear me. But God put me on assignment. Worship me. And I worshiped him when everybody's talking and communing and laughing and having a good time. And here's old Dumbo sitting on a chair. I give you praise. I love you. I love you with all of my heart. I praise you. I magnify you. And they walk by me like, don't he know we at a convention? I'm passing the test. I'm passing the test. That's where it starts. You deciding, I am going to spend time with my Father. I don't care what the world thinks about me. That's what a disciple is. He can go to God for himself and say, Father, this is so-and-so. And Father goes, come on in, where you been? Been waiting on you. Been waiting on you. Your brother just left here. Who was that? Robert? What did he want? None of your business? But I gave him some love. And that we should be the same way. You ought to bombard heaven. I don't care whether it's in the morning or noon. Man, I'll go worship God. If I get a lunch break, man, many times I'll go find me a place and it's me and him. And it may be for 20 minutes. It may be for a half hour. I'm privileged to work in an office. I can shut my door and go in my door and go, I give you praise. I worship you. I magnify you. Knock, knock, knock. I glorify your name. Knock, knock, knock. I bless your name. Knock, knock, knock. Aren't you embarrassed? Not when my faith works. No, not embarrassed. When I can speak to my mountains of sickness and disease and they go away, I'm not embarrassed at all. No, I just feel for you. Because I know you want the same thing. And you're running around all camps. You're going to this meeting, that meeting over there, and the meeting over there, and the meeting over there. And you got this guy's book and that guy's CD. And boy, you just, stop! Sit down! Epoxy your to a chair. And spend time in private worship. And just tell him how much you love him. You don't have to be eloquent. He doesn't care about how eloquent you are. I love you. You can say that 1,000 times in 5 minutes, and he'll go, say it again. Say it again. Say it one more time. I want to hear it one more time. You think I'm putting your leg on? I'm telling you, when you engage him, he's all in. He's all in. Now, there'll be times when you go in there and you engage him, and you won't feel him. But listen, learn this the hard way. When you don't feel him, that's the times when he's really enjoying the best. You know why? He's saying, you don't feel anything, but you know I'm here. That's what he calls faith. Are you listening to me? That's what he calls faith. It's when you don't have to see any signs. Listen, you may be praying for something for 3 or 4 months, but if you engage in private worship, he'll sustain you for 3 or 4 months. He'll pick you up. He'll put you in a place called done, where you'll begin to go, whoa, I know it's done. I know it's done. I know it's done. I know it's done. And they'll go, where is it? Where is it? I don't know, but I know it's done. I know it's done. Come on, somebody. That's who he is. He'll put you in that place called done. And you'll walk around with the full assurance, it's on the way. It's on the way. It's happening. It's happening. I don't have to sweat it. Why? I go right back in that prayer closet. And if he changed his mind, he'll tell me. But he's never changed his mind. He's never changed his mind. You want to know how to fight sickness and disease on a long term? See, most people that I know cannot fight sickness and disease for a long time. Most people can't fight the common cold more than 24 hours. You know why? They get weary because they keep worrying about how they feel and thinking, well, ain't nothing happening. Honey, it's a spirit thing. You don't know what's happening. You know what's happening one way. Can anybody tell me how you know what's happening? What's happening? Anybody, 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 anybody. Come on, folks. If the word said it so, it's happening. If he said to worship me in spirit and in truth, if he says that I be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but being filled with the Spirit, when I'm worshiping him, I'm being filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. What does that mean? Oh, power has been given unto me. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm getting too happy about this. See. If he said it, it's happening. But the thing is this. Your feelings will be saying, no, 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 no. And you got to learn to say, I said, shut up. That's my favorite word, my flesh. Shut up. I'm not talking to you. Shut up. When I want advice from you, I'll ask for it. I'm not going to ask my flesh, how do you feel today? I'm not going to ask my flesh, what do you think about this problem? I'm not going to ask my flesh that. I'm going to tell my flesh what I think. I'm going to tell my flesh what I'm doing. I'm not going to ask it. But see, if you don't have a close relationship with God, you'll always be wondering, well, flesh, how do you feel? Flesh, you think we're going to die? Flesh, you think we're going broke? Flesh, you think they don't like you? Oh, flesh, do you feel rejected? Come on, somebody, you've been there. Man, I don't give a rip who I'm around. Listen, I'm thinking of a man right now, when I walk up and he sees me, he just kind of gives me his, he does me a body check and I'm going, I could care less, man. I could care less. And he's one of them kind of guys, he's well manicured and man, he's dressed to the nine. I mean, he's got it bling bling going on and I'm going, thou fool, one day we're going to both stand be- now, I'm not, I don't mean ugly now. We're going to stand before God and your bling bling ain't going to be there. You're going to be as naked as a jaybird. He's going to read right through you. Right through you. And you think you got it going on. I don't know where this fire came from. Glory to God. I need to stop. Glory to God. But remember, engage private worship. Just start doing it. If you have a problem with it, come get me. I'll drag you off to some little room and we'll get in there together and we'll worship God. I guarantee you by 15 minutes and you'll realize that's all you do. I can do that. I know you can. I know you can do it. The thing is, your flesh talks you out of it. I got to go to this class. I got to go do this. I got to get that done. That's why the devil has you on that track. If he can keep you bing, 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 going, 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 you'll never have time. Man, listen, he's worked with me so well, sometimes I'm looking for stuff to do at work because I done got it all done. You need help? You need help? You got anything you want me to do? Or I may go to my office and just shut the door and go, I give you praise. I worship you. Now I work at a church, so I can imagine my boss coming and said, what are you doing in here? I'm worshiping God. I can just imagine her going, you can't do that. Really? Hold on. Let me go outside and make sure this is a church. Yes, this is a church. We are church. The only question that you should ask me is your work done? Yes. It is. It's done. Glory to God. Are you listening to me? You feeling good right now? You know what that is? You know what that is? That's the Spirit of God encouraging you to spend time with Him this week. That's all that is. You can have that every single day. You can do that to yourself. Ephesians 5, verse, I think it's 18, it says, being filled with the Spirit, singing psalms and hymns, and making melodies in your heart as unto the Lord. Amen. Be not drunk with wine. See, many people, you should preach that as, I'm drunk with wine. That's not what he was talking about. That's not what he was talking about. And don't get me wrong, I know pastors have said, man, I'm drunk. That's not what Paul was talking about. Paul was saying, when a person gets inebriated, his emotions are turned off. See, he's in a bar and he sees Arnold Schwarzenegger at the end of the bar in his prime when he's about 29 years old and just won Mr. Olympia. And he goes, I can beat Arnold Schwarzenegger. See, he's had one too many to drink. You're about to get the whooping of your life. But what God was saying was this. You spend time in private worship and whatever problem you got, I'll turn your emotions on and I'll turn up the forces that I place within you, I'll turn them up. And the love that you have for me will increase. The joy that you have in the midst of this will increase. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The peace that you have in you, it will increase. You'll run around and you'll be thinking, and they'll go, didn't you just file bankruptcy? Yes, I did. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But I got a brand new house and brand new cars. I got, God is restoring me. Why? Because you're filled with the Spirit. You're not drunk on wine. You're drunk on His presence. You've learned in the middle of a battle to turn your emotions off. You don't really turn them off, you just turn them to where they don't longer affect you negatively. And you allow the forces in your spirit to rise up and begin to conquer that which's coming against you. You got loved ones out there? Spend time in private worship. You got a financial dilemma out there? Spend time in private worship. You need healing in your body? I double dog dare you to spend time in private worship. You'll trip over your healing before you come out of there one day. It'll sneak up on you. Sneak up on you. Glory to God. Let me stop. Because I can keep going and keep going and keep going. I am just turned on right now. Glory to God. Father, we ask you to bless the food that we're about to receive. Sanctify for the nourishment of our bodies. We ask you to bless our bread and our water and take every sickness and every disease from the midst of us.